Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. Just great.
Yeah.
Great.
Super.
Yeah, yeah. And weather's good everywhere. I think we're in this time of year is pretty good everywhere.
Yeah,
except
it's
for
nice.
The rains. Yeah.
You know, it's always. I was watching the weather guy the other day here in Hawaii, and it's kind of like the weather guy in San Diego, you know? Sunny and mid-80s pretty much all the time.
I know, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Not much change.
I think it's wonderful how it can rain in one, like in the backyard and not in the front yard, too. That's always really cool.
Here, yeah, exactly. A little cloudburst somewhere. Hey, I am hanging out again. Not that I'm stalking him, but I am at the same.
You're too funny.
I am at the same Starbucks where last week we talked to Wayne Tiger.
That was so funny.
That was magic.
This time he's not coming by to this time because it was synchronicity, Randy. And last week our second half was "You Are a Miracle," right?
Yeah.
And it was all about, and this time, this show is going to be about title insurance on our first half, and our second half is the giving tree, you know, the food pantry and giving back. So that was, it was just perfect timing. It was hysterical. That was really, really amazing.
I love it. Magic moments like that happen. I absolutely do.
Where are you? Where are you? Are you in the Starbucks, or where are you?
Sitting out on a Starbucks patio in Lahaina.
Nice.
Here in downtown, kind of downtown Lahaina, I guess, if you will. A couple blocks from, Front Street. And
I love that spot. That's really...
It's cool.
Yeah. Good.
It's very cool. By the way, just want to give out the phone number again, 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. 2-8, and absolutely feel free to call in if you've got real estate questions. Of course, as we talked about, Natalie knows her stuff, been in the industry for many, many years, and second half of the show, again, as always, we talk about, you know, helping out and being the change in the world, and looking forward to having Pastor Charlie Lorenz with us from the Giving Tree Food Pantry and Word of Life Church in Honolulu. And I think, Natalie, when I with you in Honolulu a few years ago, I think I met Charlie.
You know, you probably, we've known him for a long time. Did you really? You may have.
You were selling the house for him, I think? Or
yeah,
he's
client? Done a lot of transactions with us, he and his wife, and you may have, yeah. It's hard for me to remember since there's so many people, but he's such a wonderful giving person. He and his wife are both assistant pastors at Word of Life, and their whole life is about giving and giving. I can't wait till he comes on.
Wow.
And,
yeah,
he's just amazing and very business structured. He just does it so well, and he's able to take it and grow it, you know, and make it work to give back, which is really a unique technique, you know, to be able to build these things properly so that you can give back and make it work all the way around. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, time is flying by as always again, so let's dive in to the first half. What are we talking about today?
Oh, it's like why you need title insurance and okay. how you should take title to a property. Just different. Title insurance is basically we're talking about why you should have it, and then also just a couple different ways of taking title to a property. And, of course, as a caveat, you always want to discuss this with an attorney and
yes.
your accountant. And so we'll go over a little bit. We're going to talk about there's owner's title insurance and lender's title insurance. If you're getting a loan on a property, the lender's going to require you to have lender's title insurance, but owner's title insurance is optional. So we're just going to go over different reasons today of why you should get it. A lot of people think, oh, it's not worth it, I don't need it, and believe me, I would never buy anything without it. I know people are going to have their opinions, but I just wouldn't. So we're going to go over just different issues that can come up if you don't have it and why it's worth its weight in gold. And also talk a little bit about a reissue rate that you're able to get, possibly if the previous owner had owner's title insurance. Different issues that can come up and list of reasons why you definitely want it. We're not going to dig into a lot of depth about which policy is the best or not the best. You can do your own research on that. And we'll go over what to look for on the policies. And then we're just going to touch briefly on taking title, which is another thing that the title escrow companies will go over with you when you're buying a property. If you're married, not married, you know, go doing it with a few people, who you want to leave to the property to if something happens to you. So we're just going to go over general information on why you should have title insurance and taking title. Title insurance is actually insuring the title, and how you take title is in title insurance. That's how you vest and how your names are going to be on the title, which makes a difference for you, too.
Wow.
So we'll get into all that good stuff. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's second nature to all of us, and you know, to me it is, and many of us in the business. But so many people have different opinions. And I just think when you're going in to buy properties, there's areas you really can do yourself. There's areas you really need to turn over to the experts. And then there's some areas you just shouldn't skip. You know, it's just like flood insurance. Many, many people do not get flood insurance. I mean, it's mandatory if you're in flood areas. Typically, lenders will require it. It's not mandatory if you don't owe anything on your house. But, for example, there's many people that say, okay, I don't need the flood insurance. And then so catastrophe happens, and they're not covered, right? And it's getting more and more expensive. Flood insurance is bought through FEMA, but it's just there's certain things that you shouldn't skip. Now, flood insurance is, you know, it depends where you are. I mean, if you're on a hill, and you know, it's not likely, that's good. But title insurance is something I personally think you should never skip. So,
okay. All right, and I, as usual, in this overview, I've got questions that have popped up, so I'll save those for after the break.
Okay.
And we will be right back. Again, the phone number, 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. Realty Universal Radio Worldwide. We'll be back, Red.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that will give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A 5-step program for identifying where you are now, how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan at a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
Shoestring Ministries is committed to mindset, attitude, and behavior change by taking the focus off of me and putting it on Christ. All right, Dr. V, this week we're talking about fresh starts.
How many of you just need a do-over sometimes? You know, to take back a negative word, a failed relationship, or a life regret.
All of those.
The God we serve is about fresh starts, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 reads, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Mm. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning."
Whoa!
Man. Just like the newness of dawn, God's daily mercies give us a chance for a do-over.
You know, Brennan Manning talked about he loves us just as we are and not as we should be, because we'll never be as we should be.
That's right.
Here we go.
Alrighty, we are back. Realty Universal Radio, worldwide, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're just tuning in, and maybe you've missed some of the show, you can always check it out, archived here at Blog Talk Radio. So check it out. Again, the phone number is 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. Natalie Mullinex is with us. She is, of course, the president and the founder of Realty Universal and Realty Radio. And today's topic, we're talking about title insurance. And can I ask an everyman question?
Sure.
Here's the everyman question. As you were describing it, I thought to myself, you know, my understanding is once you've signed a title, I mean, once you get to that point where you've got a title with your name on it, man, that's pretty solid, I would think. Why would you need insurance?
Excellent, excellent question. And what couple different things that can come up, and of course, like we always mention, we only have a little bit of time here to go over things that would take us 3 days. The couple items that would come up, for example, is what if, now most deals now, when you go to the title company or you do it with a lawyer, they're going to require your driver's license to make sure you're who you are, okay? But that doesn't mean they always do. And in the old days, what if somebody sat in as somebody's wife and they really weren't? Or what if a grandmother sat in and she really wasn't the person, okay? So we don't, you know, just there could be fraud and somebody's posing they're somebody that they're not, okay? Then that other person comes forth later and says, wait a minute, you had no right to sell this property. So
that's
one issue. What if there were, I've seen situations where the loans weren't released. There was a loan from, you know, way back when and it wasn't released. And if they had title insurance, they wouldn't be going through all the extra work. There's situations where maybe an undisclosed lien comes up that typically should have been filed, but there, you know, there's so many things that can come up. And I've seen accessway issues. So some, you may be on a street with 10 other houses, right? And it could be an actual county city road and not just a maintenance, a small private road where you would need a maintenance agreement. And I've seen where literally public accessways weren't done 30, 40, 50 years ago that should have been done. How did some of the people get the loans on that property? I have no idea. I had one in particular on Oahu that I was selling three houses for the seller. I was able to go back and force them under the title insurance to take care of two. The third, we couldn't. He didn't have title insurance on. Something's getting. I can hear background. But now it's going really loud. I think it's the coffee.
Oh, okay.
People, it's the coffee talking.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyhow, So you have accessway issues, okay? I've seen, well, I can't name buildings and names, but there's condo building in Hawaii, literally, that had no access, that formal access, and people could be suing left and right later, but anyone with title insurance is going to be covered. There could be all types of things that could come up that you wouldn't think about. Encroachment issues typically may be excluded, but maybe not. So there's a whole list of things, and what happens is if you have the title insurance and it's good title insurance and somebody comes and knocks on your door 5 years after you bought the property and they say, wait a minute, we have issues, and you go, oh, no, wait a minute, I've got my title insurance policy, and you can pull it out and you're covered. Now, again, you have to check with your attorney, make sure you have the right policy, et cetera, right? But you're covered and you can sleep that night. If you didn't get the title insurance policy, guess who's going to pay lawyers and go pen, and God knows how long it could be, and maybe you're not going to be able to have full and clear title to that property. So
wow.
The amount of money it costs, and a guesstimate, like say on a $500,000 house, it depends on what state you're in, what county you're in, but just a general, on a maybe a $500,000 house, you might be paying about $1,300, $1,400 for that owner's title insurance.
Wow.
And really, it could be only three. It depends where you are. But that is worth its weight in gold for the fact if something comes up later.
And then there's
many cases where mortgages weren't released and you're ready to go to settlement and closing, and you know the escrow company pulled the payoffs a week or two before and they thought they're doing their updates, and it wasn't released from 20 years ago, which it should have been released. Well, they have to go and get it released, and everything would have to be delayed for God knows how long to get it released. But if the owner's title policy was there, boom, they can get things released. Now, so really you start to say, wait a minute, there's a lot of reasons why you really need it, because you don't, you know, that you just, there's so many things that can come up. Now, lots of times there may be an encroachment issue. Somebody has a fence on your property, a storage shed, and the lender doesn't really care and you don't care. I would recommend that you get an encroachment agreement done prior to closing, prior to settling, with the neighbor. Or maybe get it taken down or whatever. But if you don't work it out, that particular item may be excluded in your title policy. So then in the future, you'd have to deal with it. There's so many things that can come up. But you want to really read it and know what you're doing, because the title companies will make exceptions and exclude certain items if they're aware of it and the lender agrees to it, right? And you agree to it. So
yeah.
it's amazing. And, I mean, you really, really need it. And one thing I do want to mention when I say the quotes can be different in different counties, states, etc., and we're talking about the U.S. here, you can find out if the previous owner has owner's title insurance, and many times you can get a reissue rate, which is going to give you a discount on the new policy. So, you know, so you can save money there. And again, we could go over, there's so many other issues that could come up with it, but, you know, I just want to give food for thought and people to think about why they really should always buy title insurance.
That's amazing. And again, that's why people need realtors.
and people need to check with the attorneys and do their due diligence, because, you know, not everybody may have the same opinion, right? But you definitely, you need to know what you're doing.
I had no idea on the title insurance, but in this day and age of, you know, Photoshop and internet fraud, it seems like it's probably a lot easier for people to be dishonest, right?
Well, and in the old day and age, the people shook hands. They didn't always look at licenses, you know, like they should have, you know, you don't know if this one comes up and that one comes up, and they're like, that wasn't my grandmother, that was some other woman that sat in for her, you know. It's just, I had an issue in Maryland. There was, you also have issues with ground rents, and different things may have been paid off or may not have. There was an issue where the parents had passed away and they paid it off, but no one could find the records, okay? And again, it got found out. But so different things had to be escrowed. And, you know, so there's just a lot of little issues, and I definitely highly recommend just one area that you do not skimp at all. A couple of little things I think we might as well go over real quick and then take a quick break, because it is already 20 past the hour. And
lying by.
I can't wait for Charlie to come on. He is wonderful, Pastor Charlie.
Yeah.
The taking title, you want to make sure that you definitely take title properly. If you're married, you're probably going to take it in tenants by the entirety, which means one you know, you have joint ownerships. One person passes away, it goes to the other person. There's tenants by the entirety, joint tenants, tenants in common. You know, so there's different ways to take title. Tenants in common is going to give you, if you pass away, your portion can go to your relatives, but the other portion stays. So things have to be divvied up. A lot of people like to take a property in trust and put it in their trust, which is a wise thing to do. Many lenders won't allow you to do that. When they are doing the loan, they want it in your names individually, and then you can transfer it in the trust later, but some will allow you to do that. So it's just really important to make sure you're taking title in the right way, because you may, you know, be buying it with two or three people and say, hey, I want my portion to go to my heirs, but then you just tied it up with somebody else, maybe as joint tenants, and that right of survivorship goes to the other person, and that's not what you wanted. You wanted your heirs to get what was left for you. So just always be really careful, buy title insurance, and also find out what is the best way for you to take title to protect yourself and to have your wishes carried out should something happen to you. Or if the situation, just like we talked last week about joint ventures and contracts, if something doesn't work out, you want to make sure that you're covered. So I think now it's really time for a quick break.
Yeah, awesome. That is such great stuff. Yeah, let's take a break, and we'll be back on the other side and kind of wrap up this first half hour, and then be ready for Pastor Charlie here in the second half hour. We'll be back, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the show, Natalie Mullinex, our host, Randy Zachary, the co-host, and the number again, 347-945-5428. Maybe you're out there and you've got a horror story, or you've got something that you can say, you know what, she is right. Or maybe you disagree. We'd love to hear from you. 347-945-5428.
Yeah, we need some controversy.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcoming. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
I wanted to give you four specific examples that I'm going to cover at the end about how a product called Silk tripled their sales by doing one thing, how an artist named Jeff Koons went from being a nobody to making a whole bunch of money and having a lot of impact, to how Frank Gehry redefined what it meant to be an architect, and one of my biggest failures as a marketer in the last few years, a record label I started that had a CD called Sauce. But before I can do that, I got to tell you about sliced bread and a guy named Otto Rohwedder. Now, before sliced bread was invented in the 1910s, I wonder what they said, like the greatest invention since the telegraph or something. But this guy named Otto Rohwedder invented sliced bread. And he focused, like most inventors did, on the patent part and the making part. And the thing about the invention of sliced bread is this, that for the first 15 years after sliced bread was available, no one bought it, no one knew about it. It was a complete and total failure. And the reason is that until Wonder came along and figured out how to spread the idea of sliced bread, no one wanted it. That the success of sliced bread, like the success of almost everything we've been talking about at this conference, is not always about what the patent is like or what the factory is like. It's about can you get your idea to spread or not. And I think that the way you're going to get what you want or cause the change that you want to change to happen is you're going to figure out a way to get your ideas to spread. And it doesn't matter to me whether you're running a coffee shop or you're an intellectual or you're in business or flying hot air balloons. I think that all this stuff applies to everybody regardless of what we do. That what we are living in is a century of idea diffusion. That people who can spread ideas, regardless of what those ideas are, win. And when I talk about it, I usually pick business because they make the best pictures that you can put in your presentation and because it's the easiest sort of way to keep score. But I want you to forgive me when I use these examples, because I'm talking about anything that you decide to spend your time to do. At the heart of spreading ideas is TV and stuff like TV. TV and mass media made it really easy to spread ideas in a certain way. I call it the TV industrial complex. And the way the TV industrial complex works is you buy some ads, interrupt some people, that gets you distribution. You use the distribution you get to sell more products. You take the profit from that to buy more ads. And it goes around and around and around, the same way the military industrial complex worked a long time ago. Now that model of, and we heard it yesterday, if we could only get on the homepage of Google, if we could only figure out how to get promoted there, if we could only figure out how to grab that person by the throat and tell them about what we want to do, if we could do that, then everyone would pay attention, we would win. Well, this TV industrial complex informed my entire childhood and probably yours. I mean, all of these products succeeded because someone figured out how to touch people in a way that they weren't expecting, in a way they didn't necessarily want, with an ad over and over and over again until they bought it. And the thing that's happened is they canceled the TV industrial complex.
Can you hear me?
We are back. Yes, Realty Universal Radio. And it is the show, of course, that's the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. We talk about that all the time, and it is absolutely the case. Natalie Mullinex, Randy Zachary, Realty Universal Radio. And we're wrapping up the first half of the show. Pastor Charlie Lorenz is going to be joining us talking about one of our favorite topics, which is giving back, right? Which is giving back and loving and being the change in the world that you want.
And he is amazing. He's just amazing what he does. He's just amazing. It's just, you know, it's few people that have everything.
So you told me.
Huh? Did I lose you?
I'm sorry. Sometimes we get into the.
I know.
No,
that's the power of the internet, huh?
Yeah, the old delay. Sometimes we interrupt. So forgive us if we appear to be interrupting. you've sold me on this title insurance thing, man. And again, it's we've asked people to call in, and whether they agree or disagree, I'm sure there are plenty of horror stories like some of the scenarios you outline. Where people, if they don't have it,
ever think that you're going to buy in a big condo building and then find out later they didn't have access right ways properly? I mean, you just wouldn't think that, because most people assume, oh, this is okay. They knew what they were doing. But somebody apparently gave it when they shouldn't, you know, gave the sign-offs when they shouldn't have, you know. So you really have to be careful, very careful.
Yeah. So, for more information, of course, on title insurance and a whole wide spectrum of topics, of course, realtyuniversal.com is the website. You can go there, and again, whether you're an agent, a broker, buyer, seller, you can find out about Realty Universal too. And again, the concept that we talk about over and over here, and that is that buyers and sellers should have choices, and the menu programs that we talk about, and there are just all kinds of information. I'm blown away every time I get on that website. I can get lost in all of the information. There's so much of it there, and easy to navigate, but I'm not a techie kind of guy, so that's my issue. But it's a great
thing. Nowadays,
we have information
overload.
Oh, you know what? We do. We absolutely do. A lot of head knowledge, how much of it gets down into our heart, which is kind of what we address here in the second half of the program. And talk to me for a minute about Pastor Charlie and how you met him, just before we get him on.
Oh, I've known Pastor Charlie for, gosh, I can't remember if it's 2001 or two. We've known each other, Pastor Charlie and Diana, for years through real estate, through them buying and selling homes. They bought a bunch, actually, and they used our programs. And, we've just all stayed in touch, and they're just wonderful. So I actually was honored by meeting them through real estate originally.
And he's an example of, because you have, and you can see testimonials, and I'm not going to, I know you
talk about this,
so it's my job to talk about this. There are testimonials on your website, people like Pastor Charlie who
I think Pastor Charlie's on there, too. He's on there. Yeah.
Just
as a matter of fact, I think he's on there. I know, I'm speaking over you, and I'm so sorry. And
don't worry.
Pastor Charlie is coming on the line right now.
We have a phone call. calling from the 808 area code?
Yes,
sir. Check it out.
On Oahu.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi. This is Pastor
hey,
Charlie.
Pastor Charlie. I was just bragging about you.
Oh, hi, Natalie.
Hey, how are you? I did try to call you a little bit ago, and the lines are crossing, aren't they, on the other lines?
Well, actually, AT&T is having a problem in Hawaii right now, so my phone is not operational, so I'm calling from my wife's phone.
Oh, thank you. Tell Diane I said hi. So
we were just talking,
Randy's been in radio for 35 years. He's our producer.
Aloha.
Aloha.
He's actually over on Maui right now. He goes back between California and Maui, but he's in Maui for about, 6 months now, I think you're going to do? Stay for about 6 months, right?
We'll see. 6 months, 6 years. We'll see.
And Pastor Charlie's over on Oahu, and I was telling everybody that you how wonderful you are, and about you've been a pastor at Word of Life, you and Diana, for years. And we were going to discuss the food pantry and about giving back, how we can all help as well. And if you could just tell us a little bit about what you're doing, and we'll just kind of go from there.
Sure, love to. this food pantry we started in 1993, and we actually discovered through just happen chance that a lot of our senior citizens, which I believe is true nationwide, are basically starving by the time they get their Social Security check and get buy some of their medication. They usually don't buy them all. They usually only have about enough money for 1 week's worth of food. So what we did is we started calling all these elderly complexes and asking the managers if they would allow us to come in and bring boxes of food to all the people that they know that's hungry, and that we would just tell them how to come shop at our pantry and everything's free. And they opened up the doors. First one we went to, we started out with 80 boxes, and we had to go back and make another 150 that same day. So, the need is quite incredible.
But now you do. How much? Now it's even way more, right?
Yeah, we're actually averaging about 100,000 pounds of food a month that we're giving away.
Wow.
So that's 1,200,000 pounds of food a year. So,
it's a blessing.
Yeah, it is.
I was mentioning before how right before we came on, because our first half of the show, we always do the real estate, and then the second half is giving back, spiritual, talking about God, how we can make a difference. And I was telling Randy how you are just so incredible, Pastor Charlie, that you not only with your love of God and ministry, but you have such a business mind, and you're great at setting things up. So you were able to take this. And can you just tell us a little bit about how the structure got put in, and that came from, the structure to be able to make this work? And I think people, they actually come in, and I don't know if they get a card or there's some way they can come in and almost like, it's like they're going to the grocery store and then they buy whatever. You had mentioned it before. I'm not sure how that works. But it's structured.
That is correct. That is correct. We do have shopping carts, regular grocery store shopping carts.
Uh-huh.
And people come in and get to shop for what they want instead of, the traditional food pantries are handing out boxes and bags. And a lot of waste, you generate a lot of waste that way because people have different diets and different tastes, so it's a lot better if they select what they want. And then when they do actually go through the whole process of getting in, we do have anywhere from 150 to 300 shoppers a day, 3 days a week.
A day?
A day, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's the news spreads like wildfire. So they come in and they select what they want, and there's limits on certain things. Some things are unlimited if we have an overabundance of it. And I'd say that we we increase the limit for the larger the family or the larger amount of people that one shopper is shopping for. You know, if they have five kids, they're definitely going to get more food or have an opportunity to take more food than a person that's just a single person. And then there's the homeless, which is a very low percentage of our shoppers. And the homeless we don't give perishables to. So we do have perishables, non-perishables. We do have clothing, some furniture, we do school supplies. Right now we're giving out school supplies to the families in need. And but everything's free. You can't buy anything.
That's it. So do they get a card or do they sign in? It's like, it sounds like a lot of the same people are regulars that come in and into the system, or how does that work? Or does anybody come in and say, okay, I've heard about you and I'm coming here? Is it?
Yeah, there's a lot of repeats. And then there's also, because the repeats, our goal is to fill their refrigerators and fill their cupboards just as much as they would do if they had, you know, the gainful employment to enable them to do it. So, and then we do have, on the average, right now in the past 3 months, we've been averaging about 20 new shoppers a day. So they have to come in, fill out a form, and they have to qualify according to USDA guidelines in the income bracket. And once we qualify them for all that, then they're put into the system. We have a website that tracks every shopper. And with the website, you know, when anybody checks in or anybody checks out, every computer at the pantry is updated. So it helps because we have 3 check-in stations and we have 1 checkout station, and the checkout station is where we weigh out their food. So if, you know, one of the workers puts in a new person, all the computers see it. They check that person in, all the computers see it. They check them out, all the computers see it. And it's a good way to retain the data, because nothing's on the hard drives of the computer, anything. It's all on the website. So,
where do they come to? Where in Honolulu do they come to find you?
Downtown Kaka'ako. It's at
right at the church?
No.
Oh.
We're a couple blocks away. So it's 615 Ke'awi Street in Honolulu.
Is there a number they can call if somebody needs help or if they want to donate also, or?
Yes. They can call. I do take a lot of phone calls, and so does my wife. And my phone number is 808-781-2018. And my wife is listed on the Aloha United Way website. And then our website, is it okay if I give our website?
Oh, absolutely. We want you to.
Okay. It's givingtreehawaii.org or givingtreehawaii.com.
So this is how people can actually find you to get help, and also if people want to donate?
Yes, you can donate online too. And to donate online, you just go to the Make a Donation button, and you can donate with the charge card.
Okay.
And then also we give our address in there too, and so people can mail checks or just donate online with a charge card or a debit card.
Wow, that's fantastic. How did the system you have, like with the shopping carts and the computers, and I mean, to organize it so well that it works, where did that come from?
Well, we just kind of evolved into that, you know, it's just we keep on improving and talking to the shoppers and finding out what their greatest needs are. And especially the elderly and handicapped, every day that we're open, they get the first hour to hour and a half to shop. And everyone else, all the able-bodied people, have to wait until they're done before they get to come in. So,
wow.
So what we've done is just, you know, really talk to a lot of shoppers and ask them, you know, how this is changing their life and what could we do better. and, you know, what is your major need? A lot of them are really wanting eating produce. So now a lot of our pounded is produce. We do have walk-in freezers, walk-in refrigerators, and it's not like a really nice grocery store, but it's the building is definitely adequate for what we're doing, and we're really
wow.
to have it. Very discounted rent.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. Yeah. It's just incredible
yeah.
what you're doing. How do you get
Pastor Charlie?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to ask him a quick question. First of all, a comment, and what comes to me is, you know, I think James talks about pure religion, you know, is taking care of widows and orphans, and that's what just immediately comes to mind is. You know, in terms of a ministry, when you mentioned how you started this, you know, with thinking about, you know, senior citizens literally starving to death, many of them widows, I just think about how what an amazing beginning this was, and then the fact that, you know, you have expanded it to families and that it is a little different than say a food bank. So imagine there's other food banks and other kinds of food giveaways at churches and pantries, but you guys differ in that you're a shopping center. My question, I guess, then is, and you guys are meeting a felt need, which is the model, you know, that I think Jesus modeled for us, you know, fed the 5,000 and all that kind of thing. And obviously, once you've fed them and built relationship with them, it must be pretty natural, you know, in terms of opportunity for ministry as well to families, right?
Yes, it is. And we don't force anything on anybody.
Yeah.
And 'cause the gospel is free. And we don't believe that, you know, making it a prerequisite where you have to, you know, become a Christian or you have to come to our church. You know, we offer
yeah.
the gospel. And if they want it, fine. If they don't, that's fine too. We treat everybody equal. Doesn't matter, you know, whether they could come and tell us we're never going to come to your church ever. Okay, that's all right. If you're hungry, you can still shop, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way that Jesus wants it.
That
you know,
is awesome.
Yeah, because otherwise you don't really get true conversions. People will, when
right.
you have this kind of amounts of food and clothing and furniture and appliances and things like that, what happens is that there's, you know, they'll do anything to get it. So you don't want to take advantage of that. You don't want to, you know,
yeah.
I would hate to, well, I could just say that
True.
I don't want to fornicate the gospel and just, you know,
yeah.
try to get a feather in our cap saying we get this many people saved a day. I mean, that would be really easy to do. But for them to just, because they think they have to, for them to
right.
just, you know, say that they're accepting Jesus or whatever. So we, you know, a lot of people are just amazed and they, well, why are you doing this? You know, and we have kids come in that's never had a toy their entire
oh.
life.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so wow. we have lots of toys and stuff. And we network with a lot of other agencies too. And we had this one agency that had an abundance of stuffed animals that they needed clothes. And we had an abundance of clothes. So we said, okay,
Beautiful.
We'll give you our overflow of clothes, and you can give
Beautiful.
Us some stuffed animals. And so what we did with all the check-in tables, they were all packed out with all these stuffed animals, and all the kids that came in
oh,
could take two or three of them.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's always
wow.
it's always changing. Things are always different there, you know, the food that gets donated can be, you know, sometimes we'll get frozen chicken, frozen salmon, frozen hamburger, and frozen pizzas, and all kinds of different kinds of food, you know, and then it changes the next week, all that's gone, and something else is you know, the majority get a lot of milk, and
mm-hmm.
People can, you know, with the milk, we usually give away all that they can take. And the interesting thing about milk that a lot of people don't know is you can actually freeze milk. And when you freeze milk and you pull it out of the freezer even months later and put it in your refrigerator defrost, it's just as fresh as the day that you froze
really?
it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yes.
No.
It freezes very, very well. And so, you know, an empty freezer is pulling a lot of energy. A full freezer takes less energy. So the more that they pack the milk into their, which, by the way, it costs more for a gallon of milk than a gallon of gas nowadays. But if they put like 4 or 5 gallons of milk in their
freezer. On the islands. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, maybe not for you guys, but it sure is for us. So it really, it really, you know, helps them. Because we'll get milk in bulk quantity, and then it's gone, you know.
That's great.
So they freeze it. They got milk for months, you know, sometimes. Yeah. But it's really cool. So it's got a full refrigerator and a full freezer, definitely takes less energy because you're taking up space with something that's frozen or something that's refrigerated. So when you open your door, all that coldness isn't going out. So the recovery after you open and close your doors is a lot quicker with product in there.
Wow.
So,
Do 100,000 pound? I mean, how do you? There are grant monies that go for that, or just all donations, or how does that? Because that seems like such an enormous amount of food.
We are getting grant money for our food. We pay for food, and basically, we're averaging somewhere around. It's hard to average it, but the highest we ever is 18 cents a pound.
Wow.
And, some stuff is called free wave. So basically, $50 can buy almost 280 pounds of food for us, you know, $1,000, 555.
That's fantastic.
555 pounds of food. That's all on our website, too. You know, and $10,000 buys over 55,000 pounds of food. So that would cover
us
for half a month. Yeah, $10,000 would feed people for half a month. So it's pretty good, you know. That's pretty cheap for buying food. So we get a lot of grants, and we get a lot of mini grants, and we're working on raising that bar always, and trying to you know, better improve, make ourselves more and more grant worthy. So we've got quite a few grants. We got a grant for a brand new flatbed truck, a grant for a brand new forklift, electric forklift. We needed electricity because is it indoors, so you can't, otherwise you'd be fumigating everybody. And then
right.
And pallet jacks and computers. We're on our second round of computers. Last year we got a grant for brand new ones, and we got all those. And you know, for a walk-in freezer, we got a grant for that. This Offington Foundation in Hawaii, they funded the whole entire thing, shipping and everything, installation.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, that was really, really good. We were surprised that they did the whole thing. It was really cool. So, yeah, it's really exciting, and people are just so happy to be able to come in and get their needs met, you know, and not starve, because, you know, the truth of it is there's so many people out there that every month they make the decision, do I buy food or do I have a roof over my head?
And like you mentioned before, I bet many aren't buying their medicine they need, right? And they're trying to, you know, because they don't have enough to supplement.
Yeah. Because in December 2010, we're in a very old building. But it does have loading docks, which really helped. But 2010 December, our roof was literally caving in from termites eating the beam.
Oh, no.
And the landlord agreed to pay for the repairs. So we closed down for a month and a half. And when they all came back, when everybody came back, they were just like, I'm so happy you're open again. We're going to, because we gave them lists of all the other pantries that usually just have a bag, box, you know. And you know, a lot of them just don't have the space we have. You know, we're just blessed and fortunate to be able to get this amount of space from a very generous landlord. And so that enables us to do this. But, you know, most pantries in Hawaii is you can shop once every 3 months or once every 6 months, and they hand you one bag that's already pre-bagged or a box.
Wow.
So this pantry, we allow them to come once a week. And, you know, with them coming once a week, especially the elderly and the handicapped, we pretty much can, you know, through, after they've come about 8 weeks in a row, their cupboards and their refrigerators and freezers are getting, you know, pretty well stocked. Not as stocked as, you know, the average working class person would have, but
that's incredible what you're doing, and God bless you. It's just amazing though how you're able to structure it and set it up and keep it flowing so well, you know, because there's a lot of work involved in doing what you're doing to make it, you make it sound easy with what you're doing, and I know it's got to be a tremendous amount of work to coordinate all of this and get the grants coming in, to keep writing grants or doing the working on the grants and getting the funding, and it's incredible.
Yeah, and, you know, to give out 100,000 pounds of food a month, you're taking in, you know, anywhere from 100 to 120, because there's a paycheck.
I think
we've
got
Well, this, you know, the old saying that one apple spoils a whole bunch?
Right.
Well, for us, that's not true. One apple gives us a whole bunch.
Wow. That's awesome. I want to mention your website again is givingtreehawaii.org. That's
givingtreehawaii.com. It's the better one. I just went to .org and it seemed like it didn't work. So
okay, so givingtreehawaii.com.
.com, yes. Yeah, okay. givingtreehawaii.com. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I've known you for a lot of years, Charlie, and I just have to give my hats off to you because not everybody could do it this way and get it rolling the way you've gotten. You know, it's just really, you have to, I know you're not one to take credit that way, but you did. You're really amazing with how you've been able to do this. And especially through the way the economy's been, too, because I know it's definitely the last couple of years had to be a lot tougher than six years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It is a lot tougher. And, you know, it's really, what really works well is to be connected to a church. Okay, so we are both assistant pastors, and so the church does fund too. They do put money into this food pantry every month, and then also because we're connected to a church, we have a lot of volunteers, and the volunteers are just growing. There's more and more volunteers coming in. You know, and it's really hard to get volunteers on a weekday during working hours. But, you know, people get laid off and they get to, you know, come and volunteer. And, you know, they get to shop after, you know. Of course, that, you know, they could have shopped without volunteering. It would be less time for them.
Wow.
But, you know, it's like you reap what you sow. And so they usually don't last very long before they get a job.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of them come in and go, I'm so sorry I got a job, I can't volunteer anymore. And we're like, what are you sorry about? This is what we pray for any volunteer that's unemployed to get employed. And then we do have the steadies that have been there for years that are retired people. And so many of them just love it. You know, you couldn't, you know, separate them from it. They're just there every day. And because we have to do things every day, we're open 3 days a week. But you know, the Monday we're taking deliveries all day, and Wednesday after shopping, we close early on Wednesday to take more deliveries, and then Friday's deliveries too. So get all these pallets coming in, and then have to stock it and rotate the stock. You know, never changing, but it's always active over there.
That's fantastic.
Really
wonderful.
Wow. Yeah. We do enjoy. Yeah. And there's all different kinds of things that have happened that really surprised us. You know, like for instance, one time this guy calls me up and says, I'm remodeling a hotel in Waikiki and I want to give you some beds. I said, okay, I'll take three. And he says, no, I'm dealing with over 1,000 beds here.
To go. 1,000?
Yeah. So
wow.
I can't take 1,000 beds. You're gonna you know, close me down because the main thing we do is food, not furniture, you know. And he talked me into taking seven. We took seven. And see, we don't deliver furniture because we don't have the manpower to do that yet.
Right.
So, so all these people that, you know, in our downtown area, there's at least six low-income elderly housing. And they came in and saw those beds, and they would get the security guards from their place. They would team up together, carry the beds, they get cars and everything. So those seven beds went in just a matter of a couple of hours, and then we're getting calls, and people are coming in, and, heard you got beds. So I called the guy up again and said, okay, I'll take 25. Yeah. And to make a long story short, we gave away over 900 beds.
That's the congratulations. Oh, that's wonderful. That just makes my heart. That's
amazing.
And
we never thought.
No. I mean, who would think all of a sudden you're going to have a 900,000 beds to give away? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 900 was about 945 beds we gave away. And it was amazing to us. This one complex is right next door to us, right on the corner of Kiabi and Queen, which is one building away from
right.
us.
Right. Anyway,
this woman, 80 years old, been sleeping on the floor for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible.
And we never knew it. We never knew it. So, you know, yeah.
Wow.
Heart-wrenching. Yeah. So we get surprised all the time.
You're doing really does come back, and it helps, and it's just amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun. We really love it. All the things we do for the church, this is where we want to spend most of our time, but, you know, so, yeah, pretty cool.
Wow, it's
Pastor,
amazing.
Pastor Charlie Lorenz with us from the Giving Tree Food Pantry and the Word of Life Church in Honolulu, and we've got just a couple of minutes, in fact, literally 3 minutes for the show.
That
was
went
over,
by
so
fast.
It flew by because this is the real deal, man. This dude, can I call you dude, Pastor? You're amazing. One question I had is, you mentioned it there at the very end, is what, man, you've got other responsibilities at the church. So, you know, what's kind of the ratio of your time spent doing your other stuff in the food pantry?
Well, usually after hours, I'm there, and my day's off. I'm there a lot on Sundays. I usually just attend one service. We have four services every Sunday, so they are allowing me to just attend one or two. And, of course, it depends on what's going on in the services. And so I'm over there on Sundays. And so we work from home, you know, with grant writing and everything like that. But at work, I do a lot of the expansion and development and all the permitting for all the locations that we have and manage some property for the church. We have a 50,000 square foot commercial center that we use a portion of it for. We bought it so that we could have a stable children's ministry that we wouldn't have to move out of.
Wow.
And so it came with a lot more space than what we need, so we rent that out, and there's parking that we rent out, and so I work directly with the administrator with all her kind of things that she's going through too. So
she's like the CEO there. What you do is like really amazing to me. You're just brilliant, brilliant.
I do teach once in a while, not as much as I used to in the past, but I love doing that too. So yeah, but it's exciting, and there's a lot of
teaching all of us.
Absolutely. I know. I know. Absolutely.
Wow. Well,
wonderful.
Thank you, Pastor Charlie.
It's amazing what you're doing. Thank you so much for coming on, Pastor Charlie. I can't believe how 30 minutes just went by. We didn't even take a break. We didn't even put a break in at all. And I still want to hear more.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, maybe we can have it back.
So. We've got 1 minute left, actually. And the website again is givingtreehawaii.com. Givingtreehawaii.com.
Correct.
Yep.
And if anyone out there is wanting to do a food pantry like what we're doing, and they can call me at 808-781-2018, and we'll do anything to help them to get them established anywhere USA or anywhere in the world.
Thank you. You definitely
really
know how to do it.
If we capture 10% of what people consider rubbish or trash, if we can, you know, capture at least 10% of that, then we could end hunger and needs in all of the world. I really believe that. Because there's
That's
so
amazing.
Much
Thanks,
stuff
brother.
People throw away. All right.
That's amazing. Oh, we're getting ready to go off. Charles, we'll
all
talk
right.
to you. Thank you so much. Tell Diana I said hi. It's go. It's cuts us off
Blessings.
At that time.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. To everybody out there, I just want to say thank you, Pastor Charlie, and to everybody out there, we wish you peace.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.